something that you all should know, especially you people down in Gyno Row. This ain't your mom and daddy's titty show, so let me just explain to you how it's gonna go. I'm gonna bump, I'm gonna grind, I'm gonna show you a good time, and honey, then you're gonna holler for more. And if I'm loving what I'm hearing, then I take off what I'm wearing, and you're on your feet and screaming till your throats are sore, 'cause I'm large and in charge, and I got you all under my spell. Yeah, I'm large and in charge. A little a little velvet hammer and some hardcore punk. Forget those twiggy pinups that you're used to seeing. I ain't no prissy princess, I'm the goddamn queen. I'm large and in charge. I got a God-given couple of tits. Yeah, I'm large and in charge. And if you don't give it up, then you don't see shit. Well, you don't look twice when I'm on the street, but with a wig and some heels and a low down beat and a little drop of sweat from the spotlight heat, you'll be worshiping the ground where I plant my feet. 'Cause I'm large and in charge. I am a jumbo jet set for a flight. Thinking of me later tonight when you close your eyes and turn out the light.
Welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM. You are listening to Caroline McGillivray, and tonight we are going to be talking all about couples, coupling, and much more. Tonight, I have The Wet Spots, Cass King, and John Woods, as well as Screaming Chicken Theatrical Society, Norm Elmore, and Ms. Melody Mangler, who is one of the burlesque stars in town. And they are doing a show called By the Seat of Your Panties. So we're going to be chatting about that and much, much more. So welcome to the show, everyone.
Thank you.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, you guys all sound so sexy. You brought your radio on, did you not? It's interesting. If everybody were here and you could actually see what these people look like, you would just, you can feel it just kind of oozing through the sound waves. It's pretty hot stuff. This room is getting all steamed up just chatting to them. Welcome to the show, you guys, and thank you for taking time. So I know you guys are rehearsing for your show, which is opening very soon, isn't it?
We go up May 2nd at the Wise Hall. There's two shows, so yeah, it's opening really soon.
Mm-hmm. So this is different than last year's show, isn't it?
Well, last year I think we did a much more sort of collaborative show, and it literally was by the seat of our panties. Our very first creative meeting for it took place 2.5 weeks before the show actually went up. Wow. This year we got a full 4 weeks lead time, and we have 11 original songs and a 45-page script to work out, so it's very different this year.
11 original songs, that's awesome. And the song that we just opened with was one of your new ones.
Yeah, that one's called Large and in Charge. The bulk of these songs got written between last year's show and this year's show over sort of a 12-month period. Some of them were written in New York, some of them were written in Australia. Large and in Charge was largely written in New York, actually, on subways in between Brooklyn, where I was staying, and Manhattan, where my lover was living. So, I had a lot of long subway rides, and I was spending a lot of them, like, penning lyrics for that number.
I love the word long. Mm.
All right.
How do you feel about subway rides?
So,
so, John, you and Cass, you have been, you guys wrote, did you guys write these songs together for all of these, like most of your others work?
Well, I think John really took the lead on this one. He has been, last year what happened was we wrote three original songs. Mostly John wrote three original songs. And by the time we wrote the third one, which we'll play later in the show, we realized that it really needed to be a full-length musical. It was just one of those magic songs, like Over the Rainbow or something. And we're like, ah! We have something really special here that wants to come out as a full-form book musical. And so John's been working away ever since then on these songs. And I've been mostly keeping my hands off until we got to the script portion. But John's been working really hard on them.
I think that's awesome. I'm a huge fan, as you guys both know, so it's really exciting. And I'm a huge fan of Screaming Chicken as well, so I'm very happy that you guys are working together again. I really enjoyed last year's performance as well, and I'm excited to see all the changes for this year. So it's good. So how do you guys find working together? Because, I mean, this is couple and couple working together. So in terms of... I'm going to start with Norm. How do you guys work together in terms of keeping basically business and pleasure separate, or do you mix the two a little bit?
I think it's really hard to keep the two separate. It's we just spend so much time working on both and so much time together that I think it mixes in. But I think that's the fun part about it. We talk a lot as a couple, which I think is unusual and different than a lot of people, is that we, you know, inevitably spend 6 hours a day talking, whether it's about projects or about something separate. So it really keeps us close and it really keeps us communicating. And I think it washes in and out of our personal nightlife pretty seamlessly.
And how do you keep things in terms of communication? What are some key things do you think are really important?
Well, it's nice to have something to talk about, you know, that we're never stuck doing a repetitive, how was your day today kind of conversation. Every day it's something new, we've got something to talk about, new problems, new stuff. Sometimes it's stressful, a lot of times it can be something that's not always positive that we have to talk about, but really overall I think it's just that, you know, we're always talking and that makes it very comfortable for us to communicate. If we're talking about work, it makes it easy for us to communicate on a personal level.
And Cass?
I know, it's really hard to get bored with your relationship when you can be in the middle of your dinner or something and be like, how are we going to build those vagina capes? Like, what are we, do we have the budget to use sequins or do we have to just you go with satin, you know? Like, it's the same with us. It's like we are constantly talking about some element of the show and keeps things really fresh.
And then also being creative as a couple and, like, you know, watching something you've been working really hard and creating together, you get to, you know, we did that, we accomplished that. It's like we have little screaming chicken babies.
Yeah. I was just going to say, it's like having a baby and so many different types. It's pretty exciting. What other things in terms of would you recommend, like, how do you not bring, like, say you guys are fighting in real life, like outside of, like, your personal life, how do you not bring that to rehearsal? Like, what are some tips you'd recommend for other couples that are working together, or say somebody who wants to shag their boss at work, that kind of thing, so that they don't bring that into the mix?
Well, I think I can speak to that a little bit in that it's kind of the same as the Ethical Slut recommends scheduling your fights. You know, so we've actually been in situations, it's rare that John and I really get into harsh disagreements, but when things get really stressful with us and we have a show to do, we have often, you know, been grousing at one another backstage and then just agreed to put it aside until after the show. And you go out and you do the show and lo and behold, afterwards, you got all that happy adrenaline going from doing the show, and it, whatever you were bitching about before, it doesn't seem quite so intolerable, usually.
is there sometimes that because the fact you have a creative outlet, both couples, I was going to say both of you, but all four of you, that sometimes you're able to work it out through the show and put that energy into the show, and that might be really healthy for your relationship?
Well, I think absolutely. I think like Cass said, often you're distracted by something else, and as soon as you have that time and that extra sort of breathing room, it really changes. I think one of the toughest things that we sometimes deal with is being a little too comfortable around each other, around other people, where it won't be so much fighting, but our bickering might carry out and other people might take it as, oh, no, they're really angry at each other, where it's just us being comfortable and debating when it comes to creative aspect of the show or, you know, something when it is work, that we will debate it strongly with each other and people will be concerned that we're fighting when really it's just working something out. And once it's worked out, we can drop that and walk away from it.
And usually, like, the straight up, we're just very honest with each other, and we don't really hold grudges or anything, but sometimes it's just the stress of, it's right before showtime, so when the show's over, it's like, oh, that was great, now I'm so way less stressed out.
I was gonna say, what I find what you're talking about with the trade-off that you get when you're working with your partner, I think, is that, as you say, Norm, you don't have those kind of like, hey, how was your day at the office, honey, kind of conversations. But the flip side of that, though, I think, is that when you are really joined at the hip with your creative partner and business partner, and that person is also your primary romantic partner, what does tend to happen sometimes is it's not even a question of like, oh, would you get out of my face? You're up in my face all the time. Like, you know, I saw you at rehearsal, and then I saw you when we were buying groceries, and then I saw you at our budget meeting, and now I'm seeing you in bed. It's not like I'm sick of you. It's just more like, oh, you again, you know? So sometimes you actually have to kind of like, I think what you gain in having a really wonderful, rich, creative life together, you can sometimes lose in like having that sort of like charge sometimes, you know, that pull. A friend of mine likes to call it polarity. Like, if you haven't seen your honey for a month because they've been away on some work trip, when you come back, it's like, it's on, you know, because you haven't seen each other in a month and you've charged up that polarity. But if you're seeing them like 11 hours of every day, you know, just working side by side, and you don't get that kind of polarity building, that can sometimes be an issue, I find.
I can imagine in terms of that, just A, not trying to take each other for granted, but at the same time, like in the 9-to-5 world, there's a lot of people who are working more hours now, and there's a lot of cheating going on because of the fact that they're spending more time with the people they work with. And up until and sexual harassment became a big deal, a lot of times people were beating people at work. So it's really exciting that you're able to work together, and actually it's really, really good, and taking that time to really value each other as well. And you mentioned primary partner, John.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do tell. I think that might be one of the themes in the show, is it not? About polyamory?
Oh, well, yeah. Well, Cass and I have a polyamorous relationship. Anyone who listens to this show will know what that means, but just in case you're tuning in casually, polyamory means that Cass and I have, like, multiple lovers, multiple partners. We are one another's primary partners, and we're married, but we also have other lovers in our lives. And that's reflected in the story of the musical. I'll talk a little bit about the musical. It's a burlesque musical. It's set in a crumbling old burlesque theater that's, you know, in danger of falling apart, and there's this really amazing, wacky cast of characters that have been performing there for years, and they're inspired by the amazing kind of cabaret performers that you get to see on the Vancouver stages, you know, like the guy who plays Falling in Love Again on the musical Saw while dressed as a cow and like moves like to Marlena Dietrich, or Bonnie Kilroy, who dresses up as Mrs. Ronald McDonald and like attacks the audience, people like that. So this theater has all of these folks in it, and but their theater is in danger of, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but it's being threatened, like it's going to have to change. And there's a love story. You need a love story in a musical, absolutely.
Definitely.
But, you know, but because we're a polyamorous couple, it's not your typical boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl again. It's more, there's a couple more layers going on, and the conclusion is not exactly what you might expect in your typical, you know, Broadway love story.
So not like your regular Judy Garland thing?
Well, there's definitely some... Well, there's Judy Garland, but it's Judy Garland sort of like... There's a Judy Garland aesthetic, but it's like sort of a cracked out drag queen doing Judy Garland.
Yeah, we're talking late Judy Garland.
Yeah. Or perhaps more recent.
Yeah.
Especially in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. No, that's awesome. Other question I wanted to ask as well is, how do you make time? And in terms of outside where you do get those moments, like what are some of the things that you two do, both couples? In terms of that, where you don't go home and it's like, oh gosh, I just went to the groceries, I just spent 12 hours in rehearsal with you. How do you find time to make things special?
We definitely, you know, try to spend time away from our usual scenery. Like, I think just on Wednesday we went and we saw the UK subs at the Cobalt and got really loaded, and that was really fun. You're not your typical Wednesday night, but that's our kind of date night, is kind of going back to where we first met and used to hang out all the time, spend time in that world.
How about you guys?
We work a fuck of a lot. We really work a lot. When we want to get time, we travel so much that sometimes it can just be like, okay, today we're going to walk in the botanical gardens, you know, in Sydney or whatever. It's like, oh, we're going to... But often we actually try to spend time away from each other. Mm-hmm. That the difficulty is being away from each other. I mean, sometimes we can be on tour and, you know, and I'm wondering why I'm getting so crabby. And the answer is because I haven't actually been alone in like 12 days. You know?
Wow.
And so, you know, there's just things that that we need to do for ourselves as individuals. And I find that actually taking the time to, like, quality time with each other will kind of always happen because we're in love, you know? And mm-hmm. So we will make the time to go for dinner or, like, you know, go spend some time with our friends who are not necessarily show people and all that kind of stuff. But quality time alone is something that I have had to learn and think about, because it's so interesting to actually be hanging out with John and creating with him.
I find as well, like, that depending on what city we're in as well, because Cass and I have other lovers in our lives as well, sometimes what we can do is, like, we can have time with our other lovers as well, you know, and spend, you know, like a night away or a day away or an afternoon or something like that. And that's definitely something that we do to sort of, you know, keep it. Because when you're bringing that kind of, like, you know, that when you've got that kind of energy with a lover, you bring that energy back home with you a lot of the time, too. And it can kind of charge up the primary relationship, too. That's what I find anyways.
Cass, do you want to comment on that?
I agree.
How about Melody? Norm?
We're pretty vanilla.
Vanilla's a nice flavor as well. It takes all types, and I think it's really important to embrace everything.
Cool.
When you do fight in terms of, say, you're at rehearsal and you're finding you're fighting or anything like that, and you're mentioning sometimes it affects people where they're like, oh my goodness, they're bickering. Do you find that affects the actual quality of the whole show sometimes, where it takes people a little bit, especially you say you've got a virgin chicken who's just joined up, where it takes them a little bit to kind of get to know, oh, okay, that's just how that's part of their creative process, how they work together.
Well, I think it's inevitable with anything that you're passionate about. Mm. You know, we have conflict because we both feel really strongly about it. And you know, like I said, often those are just creative conflicts, and it doesn't tend to be, you know, it's not like we're name calling or, we're arguing about the value of one idea versus another, doing something one way versus another. And I just think that, you know, we don't just do it among ourselves. We'll do it with the other people we work with as well. And I think that can be a little intimidating from somebody that comes in on the outside and isn't used to working collaboratively or that way. But I think, you know, the people that really fit in or the people that have been around a while end up being part of that, and that everybody feels free to express their ideas and everybody's passionate. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it gets a little heated or, you know, may not be as
loud.
or gets a little loud. But I don't think anybody ever really views that as a negative. It's...
No, that makes sense. I just wanted to recap, because I haven't asked you on this show, but I know when I was hosting Juicebox, I've had both of you guys on the show before. And I keep saying both of you, even though technically I have four people here. And I apologize about that on air. But one of the things I wanted to ask is, did you meet through the work or did you create the work? Did that come from the relationship?
We met first. And then Norm came up with the idea. Well, he was working at the Cobalt. And he came up with this idea to fill a Monday night, which he worked, which is a really boring, slow night. It's like, well, what do people like doing? Like winning prizes, and, you know, like playing games. Let's do a game show night. And that's when I started getting involved with the game show night. And I'm not polyamorous, but I think I am a splosher. So I do like
splosher.
To pour, yes, cans of beans down people's pants, put boobs out on pies, or pies out on boobs, and make people kiss fishes and stuff. I don't know. There's something wrong with me, but it's good, clean, dirty fun.
It's messy, definitely, yeah. But it's a good fetish. I like it. Norm?
Yeah, well, that's it. We definitely met before and started working on this together. I think we both tended to do a lot of projects before this. Melody was involved in doing a lot of independent films and stuff, and I've worked in animation and this and that, the other thing, always working on ideas and projects. And I think that this has really been the most successful of our projects is because we found a good working relationship mm-hmm. with a partner that we can keep going and have really seen this one through, where a lot of other things, you know, maybe didn't come to fruition or weren't fulfilled as well as we hoped, that finding this working relationship is what allowed us to really make this project go somewhere.
I think one of the things that I've always respected about Screaming Chicken is that you bring that kind of family ethos to your whole troupe, that everybody that's involved in Screaming Chicken has a right to have a voice, and, you know, like self-starters are always welcome, and there's no kind of, there's not a heavy top-down management thing in your troupe, and it's really great to see that the whole thing seems to be inspired by love, you know? It's really great to watch how when you, as producers, empower your troupe with the ability to make their own decisions and make their own choices, how loyal and beautiful and crazy everything can really get.
I think I agree. I think it's awesome, even though I haven't worked with you guys in that way. The other thing I was going to ask is, have you found that your working relationship has enhanced your personal relationship?
Definitely. Yeah.
Cass, John, how about you two? Did you, I'm trying to remember if you met before you started working together or after?
We actually met on stage at Cafe Montmartre on Main Street. And it was an open mic music and poetry event. And John was playing the sitar and I was reading my lesbian love poetry. And we decided that we wanted to write some music together. And then we got together and wound up writing no music for a year while we sort of worked out all the other stuff that we were working on. And then we started to write songs about a year later. And they came out. The first one was Three Way Rendezvous. The second one was Do You Take It in the Ass? And then we sort of decided we were on a roll. And we would be called the Wet Spots. Yeah. And I think that our working relationship is very much a part of our personal relationship, and it does enhance our personal relationship because we are always talking about it. We're just these creative people that I think that, you know, I've been coupled with civilians before. ultimately that you there's a sacrifice that you make to be this creative person, and sometimes that's time or energy or attention or whatever, and when we get to work it out together creatively, you don't have to make that sacrifice.
We were talking with this comedian, this local comedian, Patrick Maliha, really talented comedian. This one time he was giving us a ride back to our house after a show. We had done a stand-up night together. And he'd said, so how is it working together as a couple? Like, what's that like, you know? And And, you know, is it hard? You know, do you get to talk about, you know, how you're going to work? And I said, well, the thing that's really cool about it is that, you know, when we get back from doing, like, say we did, you know, 10 minutes at Yuck Yucks, we can get back home after doing that 10 minutes and talk about that 10 minutes for like 3 hours, right? And he just stopped and went, oh my God, that's good. Oh my! When I get home, my wife says, you've got 5 minutes. And I'm allowed, I'm allowed to talk about the show for 5 minutes, and then I have to stop.
That must be a nice thing in terms of working together, where you know who all the other players are, basically. So if you go home and you want to bitch about work or anything, oh, and Melody has something to add to that.
Well, it was kind of funny. We're like, oh, God, I'm so tired. It's like, I rehearsed. I think I was at the studio from noon till 8 yesterday. I was just so tired. Like, okay, let's just go for sushi, have a beer. We're like, okay, let's not talk about pennies. Let's not talk about Taboo Review or the festival. So what are we going to do for Orgy of the Dead this year? Yeah.
Love it. For those listeners out there who don't know what Orgy of the Dead is, do you want to elaborate on that really quickly? Because
yeah.
It's one of my favorite shows.
Every once in a while we do a gore burlesque spectacular based on Ed Wood's Orgy of the Dead. It's a B-movie live, come to life, and tons of gory girls, special effects makeup, testines. Yeah.
It's pretty intense. The hair pulling with the chunks coming out, the skin, all the crazy special effects makeup, as well as just some fantastic numbers. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
When is that one scheduled, just out of curiosity, this year?
We're looking towards bringing it back for Halloween again. Yay! This year. We'd like to see it do a bit longer run. As always, we're struggling with trying to find the perfect venue for the show, but... you know, we'll work it out, and hopefully we'll have it back for Halloween this year.
I hope so. It's a pretty exciting, fun show, as are all your projects for all of you here. We're going to take a really quick short break, and when we return, we're going to talk a little bit more about polyamory and about the Burlesque Festival as well, and of course, By the Seat of Your Panties, which I think is going to be a really awesome show, and hear more from the Wet Spots, which we're going to play in a moment. You are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, and we will be right back.
Where are the perversions of yesteryear? Those good old perversions like Granddaddy had. When a fellow wore makeup, you knew he was queer. When he came in your mustache, you knew he was bad. So hurrah for the creeps in the toilets of old. And those hijinks that even your shrink thought were sick. These modern indecencies leave me so cold. How they land on demand in your hand with a point and a click. And a flick of the wrist. Just like this. But back in the day, it was a hell of a scene. You would go for a ride on the Lower East Side, and then you'd lie to your wife about where you'd been. A couple drinks at the club and a bump in the park. And then the cops came around and they kicked in your face in the dark. You vermin, you quickly determine that life was too short to be sad with these perversions like old Granddaddy had. I remember Grandpapa and I would stroll through the village on a Sunday. We'd wander down by the shore and he'd buy me a strawberry ice and leave me with a bump. Sometimes he went off with his friends to have tea in the lavatory. And as the sweet sticky syrup ran down my chin and stained my navy blue sailor suit, and my fingers went all tingly and numb, I remember thinking to myself, wait a minute, you can't buy tea in the can. Some nights you got nailed, and some nights you got screwed. You'd sneak back through your door at a quarter to four, incoherent and totally new. Then you'd cry in your pillow.
did have a great way. As you thought of the fellow who smacked you around with a plank, there were bullwhips and truncheons and dimes in their dungeons and dubious personal lands and perversions.
Listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM. Listener discretion is advised. And boy, is it ever. If you are joining us right now, and I do mean join, I've got the wet spot. That was Cass King and John Woods. And that was Perversions, which is in their new show, which is By the Seat of Your Panties, which is with going to be in the Vancouver International Burlesque Festival with the Screaming Chicken Theatrical Society. Wow, Cass, that was awesome.
Thank you very much. I'm very proud of John for writing that song. I think it's a beautiful piece.
And just to put it in a little bit of context.
Thank you. Yeah.
There's a character in the show, and she's the woman who runs the burlesque theater, and she inherited the theater from her granddaddy, who ran it as a drag bar back in the 70s. So this song is her memories of what life was like, her sort of slightly hallucinogenic, drink-addled brain's memories of what life was like for her granddaddy back in the day when he was having his good old perverted life back then, and, you know, running around and getting thrown in jail and things like that. So it's sort of a satire on those old, like, when you know how, like, when your grandfather becomes a bit of a bore and tells you about how things were in the good old days and how kids these days have it so easy. It's kind of like a perverted granddaddy version of that song.
Well, it definitely works, and I can't wait to see it. It was really exciting. I love seeing you do stuff.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, oh, I thought I was getting just beckoned to do something else other than doing the show. But I'll have you listeners have to use your imagination. Before we usually do a public service announcement at the break. So, Norm, I wanted to talk to you because Screaming Chicken is also a not-for-profit, but so is the International Burlesque Festival as well, is it not?
That's correct.
And in terms of for that, what exactly do you need? Because I think you need a call out, don't you, for volunteers?
Absolutely. We're still looking for a number of volunteer positions, but specifically at the moment, we really need drivers and people that want to help us move some gear around during the festival. We've got a whole lot of venues this year. We have over 15 shows. So we've got to transport a few people and things back and forth between them. And we'd really like volunteers that want to help drive and get in to see some shows for free and be part of that. So you can find out all the information on that at vanburlesquefest.com. There's all the information under Get Involved. Just follow the link and we'll get you in touch with our volunteer coordinator.
I think that works for a PSA. And if you have never been to the festival and never seen a Screaming Chicken show or the Wet Spots, you're in for a treat. I know you've heard a little bit of it on the show, but definitely volunteer if you get a chance. Definitely go to the festival, spend money, have a good time, and it is going to be great. In terms of that, I think we are going to be doing a giveaway this week on Twitter. So if you follow at sexyinvancity.com, so at Sexy in Van City is our Twitter name. And if you want to tweet to us and retweet once we put the podcast up about the show, you will be entered into a draw and you can win a pair of tickets to the early show, which is going to be really fun. So you can get to us at sexyinvancity.com, which we're looking forward to because I can't wait to see the show myself. So it's too bad about the rules where I can't win. So before the break, we were talking a little bit about polyamory, and for Cass, you guys are a couple in terms of who practice. What are some rules that you put in perspective in terms of polyamory? Like, what are some things? Have either of you practiced before you got together in terms of had polyamorous relationships? Or
I've had several less than successful polyamorous relationships. I think that I've always sort of been poly, but it's only been recently that I've even known that there was a community. The community's become much more visible, much more vocal since the dawn of the interwebs. And we've met some people that are really great counselors, you know, and sort of mentors in this department. I mean, I think the number one element is honesty. You know, I mean, you're going to hear that again and again, and everybody can agree, oh yes, honesty is a wonderful thing in a relationship, you know, but when it comes right down to it, sometimes it's even being honest with yourself, or being honest with yourself about what you need, being willing to be accountable for taking care of your own needs and your own communicating your own wants and desires and needs, and of course communicating that to your partner and all of your various partners. You know, respect comes from honesty, and there's a bit of a rocky poly triangle in the play. It's a little bit, we don't really talk about it's kind of polyamorous in the same way that Rocky Horror is polyamorous. You don't see Frankenfurter like processing with Brad and Janet afterwards. It's just kind of accepted that it's happened, you know.
It's sort of a dysfunctional poly triangle in the show, but it's just as dysfunctional as everything else that goes on in the theater. You know, the show's got a bit of a Muppet Show feel where like things are constantly falling apart around everything. You know, not the theater in the show is what I'm saying, because the musical takes place in this burlesque theater. I'm not saying that everything in our rehearsals or anything are falling apart. They're going swimmingly well. but in this theater, it's got a kind of Muppet Show gag where it's like, oh, where's the next act? You know, so it's, yeah, there's a dysfunctional poly triangle, but it's all within the context of the big dysfunctional family that the theater troupe is.
I love it. Do you want care to elaborate, Norm?
Oh, I'm just the producer. the love triangles, that's not my department.
We're like, Norm, we need risers. And he's like, no.
I meant as an observer in terms of it. With the poly amorous in terms of the play, is it kind of anything or anything that can go wrong in a relationship? Is that part of it? Because that's Teddy Smooth and Lulu Lockhart, who is the couple, is it not, that is involved with the polyamorous part?
Well, we have Teddy Smooth and Lola Lockhart do play our idealistic young newcomers to the show, and then there's a third party who is involved, who is kind of an old timer at the theater, and who originally kind of gets into it with our two young lovers as a form of manipulation, but then I think there's a little bit of resolution with them as the show progresses.
Do you care to add anything else?
No. really.
We can't give it away.
Yeah, we have to leave some secrecy to the plot.
Come see the show.
Yeah.
They'll definitely have to come see the show. So in regards to relationships in general, because I think a lot of things, Cass, you're mentioning in terms of being really honest, I think that's important. Personally, I think honesty with timing is really key. So, for example, like when you were mentioning earlier in terms of with a show, where there's times where, you know, the show's got to go on. So it's like, okay, we're gonna talk about this later kind of thing. And so sometimes taking that time where it may not be right in the moment, let's be honest right now, but let's take time to do that, just as you're mentioning in terms of Ethical Slut, the book, in terms of scheduling your fights and making time with that. But honesty is really, really, really a good one in terms of relationships, communication, and finding different ways to communicate with your partner, which I love the fact that all four of you, hey, I said all four this time. Hey, let's give Caroline claps. I shouldn't say that on a sex show. But in regards to that, that all four of you have found a creative outlet where you're able to enhance and grow your relationships. For people who are in the 9-to-5 world, is there any advice you might recommend to them in maybe ways that they might be able to be creative and maybe take it, even though this isn't something they do for their jobs, that they might be able to? Just some suggestions, like, for example, one that I've used with different partners that have been civilians, which I love that word, are things like having a journal beside the bed, for example, where you write sexy stories to each other of things that you want to do, and you also write your feelings or anything like that, which may sound very new age and silly, but sometimes it's a different way of communication, but it's a different way to do it. I've got another friend who they're both painters, and they paint pictures for each other and things and tell stories through that way where they're able to share. Is there anything just for regular 9-to-5 that any of you wanted?
Well, they should definitely come out and see our show.
And I'm sure they're going to have lots of great sex afterwards.
Well, but seriously, we've had couples come up to us after our shows and said, you know, a friend of ours dragged us along. We didn't know what to expect. We've never been to a burlesque show before. And we saw your show the last time, and we went home. We had the best sex we'd had in years. And, it, you know, like really going out and seeing people express themselves, being comfortable in their own skin, because we showcase all sorts of body types, all different types of people. It's not the cookie cutter type of body or person that we're showing. We're showing everybody, girl next door, super talented people, just rocking what they got, loving what they're doing up on the stage. And that's really infectious, the freedom that people are having on stage, flying the freak flag high and just going for it. And I think that's really what can improve sex lives or make people feel creative or like they are living through that person and getting a bit of escape.
We've had people come up to us after shows and say, wow, my girlfriend and I, we came to see your show last year, and you do that song, Smack My Bottom, and we were laughing about that, and we were walking home just laughing and laughing, like, oh, isn't that a really hilarious song? And then she just said, actually, I've always really wanted you to smack me. And it was great that she told me that, because I'd always wanted to spank her. And we've been together for 6 years, but we never told each other this. And now we spank each other all the time, so it's great. So, yeah, definitely come see Screaming Chicken or Wet Spots shows, and that will improve your sex life, definitely.
I think it's important in terms of communication, and I think that's really important in terms of using things and talking about it. And I love the fact that you're getting feedback like that. Yeah, Julia, who used to host Juicebox with me, used to always describe the Wet Spots as education, sexual education through music, which I really, really like. So,
yeah, we have always thought of ourselves as entertainers primarily. Like, if we don't do an entertaining show, we're not really, you know, fulfilling our purpose. So, but there is an element that kind of separates us from being like kind of like novelty songwriters and, you know, and activists. And we're kind of skating the line right in between the two. We try to write catchy, lovely songs, but they do. There is a kind of a political arc, and there is a kind of a pleasure activism there. It's just that we don't like to kind of hammer it down people's throats, you know.
I think that's actually one thing that burlesque does in general very well, is like bring up issues, but because it's done in a comical or a light fashion, people are more like to be open-minded about it or talk about it. It's because you're not like, all right, everybody should be doing this, or everybody think about this, or, you know, the government, la, 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 la. If you're making jokes about things, people can sit back and be like, oh, well, that's funny. We can dialogue about that now and not feel very threatened.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, by embracing a sense of play, it gets people to communicate. Is
yeah.
that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I think so, too. I think it's really good. Is there anything else that they should know about the show that you guys think that we haven't touched on yet?
There's some amazing production numbers. I mean, there's 11 brand new original songs by Cass and myself, but the production numbers and the choreography that are going along with these numbers and the variety acts that Screaming Chicken are bringing are just they're totally fantastic. It's a total spectacle, and it's very different from any kind of show that either one of us have done before. I mean, Screaming Chicken has done Orgy of the Dead, and that's like a recreation of a movie, and that's definitely got like the dialogue and the production numbers. But this entire show is something completely new for both of us, you know, for both of our organizations. We're writing songs now that are character driven, you know, that fulfill a plot purpose in the show rather than just being like standalone songs. We're trying to, you know, and both of us we're doing a completely scripted show rather than sort of like an MC that, like, you know, improvs a bit and then, you know, bringing on, you know, the next round of dancers.
Well, yeah, I think it's I actually looked it up on the internet because I was trying to figure out what the heck we were doing with this that was so different. And I guess that Broadway shows, like the musical, actually started with revue-style shows, which are like your average burlesque show where you see an act and then, you know, some little tenuous connective tissue there, like whether it's an MC or a, you know, a little flimsy little plot, and then another act. And so the story started to emerge as a way to string together a bunch of disparate musical numbers. And then what developed with, I think it was Showboat, was the book musical, where people were singing the songs, and the songs were in aid of the plot, and the plot was in aid of the songs, and so the whole thing becomes a kind of a cohesive unit. And so this is the Wet Spot's first book musical, and I think it really made that turn when we brought in the writer and the director of the show, his name is Sam Dolmage, and he took a look at our plans for, like, we had an outline, and every time we would say, he'd say, like, well, why does that make sense? And we'd go, because it's a burlesque show, and he'd go, ah, let's go back to the drawing board on this one. And so what we originally, like, 8 weeks ago when we started, you know, talking about mounting this show again, we brought a series of ideas for a review style show. And I think that's what both Screaming Chicken and the Wet Spots brought to the table. And by the time we went away to Australia, wrote the script, started working with Sam, and came back to present it, it was a book style musical. Mm. It was a musical with a plot.
Nice.
And so that's a first, and I think it's a first for Vancouver Burlesque as well.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's definitely like blocking out the big production numbers as well. Working with assistant director Jen Cressy has been really rewarding, I think, for our group of girls, you know, because we're all, you know, doing chorus choreography, lead choreography, and then putting in the character intentions as well. And then you have singing on top of that. So there's just all these different layers we're juggling, and it's really a learning experience, and it's really rewarding for Screaming Chicken people.
And how many weeks have you been working on this?
Eight? Did we have? I think we had our first production meeting before we went to Australia,
yeah.
Okay. And we went to Australia at the beginning of March.
That's right.
And we played 3 weeks of shows every night,
yeah.
And wrote the script at the same time. And we came back and said, "Okay, Melody and Norm, here we go. Here's what we have." And God bless them. To their credit, they were just like, yeah, okay, we can roll with that, no problem. And then things just started. So, you know, we've been actually with the script on its feet running production numbers for 2 weeks now, and then we have another two to go. And it's full on. It's really full on.
Wow, are you doing rehearsals basically 9 to 5 kind of thing, or?
Well, I think the big running joke is, see you tomorrow. Because, yeah, well, seeing each other like every day.
Yeah, because normally a regular Equity, because it's not an Equity production, right? Because Equity is usually, I believe it's 3 weeks, isn't it? Of rehearsals, basically 9 to 5 kind of deal, and sometimes more, sometimes less at the beginning in terms of the union.
Yeah, well, this one, as an amateur show, everybody's got day jobs and stuff. So there's a lot of working around that. So I think right now it's going, you know, 6 p.m. till midnight or 1 a.m. and pretty much 6 or 7 days of the week. It's definitely 6 days a week. And then often on the seventh when people need to fill in or can't meet up or schedules change. And so there's a lot of hours going in, a big cast that are all working very hard on this. So it's going to be spectacular.
Wow. Thank God you guys are both married, because you spend a lot of time working on this stuff.
You don't know the half of it.
You can tell me.
No, that's okay. It's really all right.
Well, on that note, what else is next after this?
Well, Screaming Chicken also has another show at the Vancouver International Burlesque Festival.
Would this be the Taboo Review?
That would be the Taboo Review. Which
I love
is
it.
Our currently the longest-running burlesque show in Vancouver. It's often generally the biggest. We're going to have over 25 performers in the festival show, so it will also be the biggest show of the festival. So it'll be all the stuff that make the Taboo Review as well-known as it is, which is, again, big production numbers. As well as we're going to have some international guests. We have Delilah and Kalita coming up from San Francisco.
Oh, they're so great.
Both fantastic performers. And we've got, we're kind of doing a best of. We're going to be doing a lot of the numbers we've done over the last 5 years, a lot of the crowd favorites and our own favorite numbers. But as always, the Taboo Review, we'll be throwing in a bit of new stuff. We've got some definite surprises, including a couple of magicians and a whole bunch of that'll really be broadening it. So if you want to come to the review style show, this
is
the show. That's going to be taking place on Friday, May 8th at the Wise Hall.
At the Legion.
Oh, at the Legion, At the Grandview Legion on Commercial Drive.
And where's by the seat of your panties?
That's at the Wise Hall. Nice. Which is at 1882 Adnack, which is just a couple blocks off Commercial Drive.
Yeah, this By the Seat of Our Panties is on May 2nd, Saturday, May 2nd at the Wise Hall. Two shows, 7:30 and 10.
Nice. And what about for the wet spots? What's next?
We're doing some shows in Toronto. We're about to play Joe's Pub in New York, which is kind of a famous musical venue there in New York. And we're lining up some really, really exciting stuff for the summertime.
Mm. We're going to Vegas.
We're going to Vegas.
You two were made for Vegas. And I mean that in the sweetest way possible. So I think that's awesome. When, if people want to buy, like, say, a soundtrack or anything like that for this show, By the Seat of Your Panties, when can they get that, do you think?
I think it probably will have to wait until we put this up in a longer run. This show is really gone from zero to 100, you know, in this 8 weeks. I mean, where things are being created every day, every moment. We just break on our break, we just created something else. So, you know, it's I think the soundtrack is going to have to wait until we put it up at the Stanley.
Yeah, the Stanley. That's right. Well, you guys, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, can I talk just a tiny bit about the last song that we're going to play?
Yes, please.
Okay, well, this is actually the last show that's in the last song of the musical, and it was one that we wrote last year for the first sort of embryonic version of By the Seat of Our Panties, and it was a song that really made us go like, oh wow, we have to write a musical around this song. And it's I like it. It's kind of bittersweet, and it really captures the sort of performer's existential angst, shall we say. And but it's nice. It's rather touching, I think.
Well, let's close off the show with that song, and I can't wait to check it out in terms of the show. So thank you very much, and especially as I've been so busy rehearsing everything, thank you so much for taking the time to be on today. And one more time, where can they get tickets?
Tickets are available on the website, or on the web, there's links. We also have tickets available at Scout, Zulu Records, and a couple of other locations around town, but all that information is available on the website.
And the website, one more time, is screamingchicken.net.
Screamingchicken.net. We also have By the Seat of Our Panties.com is up and running. And you can also check out the Vancouver International Burlesque Festival site at vanburlesquefest.com. So lots of stuff, but find the Screaming Chicken site and a link to all of them.
And for the Wet Spots, if they want to download your music for some of your other pieces that you've done in the past, where can they get that?
We're on iTunes, and you can also get there through our site, which is wetspotsmusic.net.
Perfect. And so we will be closing off with the Wet Spots. And I will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM. Up next is Hans von Kloss' Misery Hour. He's a very, very sexy man to be miserable with. And I can't wait to see his shoes. Bye now.
Well, I've seen lots of shows, and they come and they go, and most of them don't go too far. And there's 17 more loading in by the door. Everybody wants to be a star. I've seen it all happen. You move to Manhattan, bus tables in some shitty bar. And you pray for the chance to audition and dance, maybe read for a small speaking part. 'Cause everybody wants to be a star. Everybody wants to be a star. Everybody wants to be a star.
Now you're drinking at noon, 'cause you know someday soon your last chance will have probably passed. But the one final test is you gave it your best, and who cares if it's only
there, student. Why walk alone when you can call SafeWalk? The safety and comfort of everyone on campus is important. That's why we're here.
SafeWalk is a free, student-run foot patrol service with two-person co-ed teams that will meet you and accompany you anywhere on campus to make sure you get there safely.
Keep an eye out for our bright red reflective jackets and signature foot logo, and let your next walk be with us.
What a huge relief! Now I'll never have to worry about the terrors that could happen when walking through such a big campus at night.
For a walk, you can call 604-822-5355, use one of our direct line phones located in some of the campus libraries, use one of the big blue phone booths, or even ask campus security.
Ready, fellas? Walkers around campus.